Hi, this is Robert Kiyosaki, and you're listening to Capital Hacking. This is the most important thing you can listen to today.
I have a dream.
With great power comes great responsibility.
I can do this all day.
Zip, don't get scared now.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Cinderella's story, out of nowhere.
It's in the hole.
That the only thing we have to fear.
Welcome back to, there's my little tomahawk. Welcome back to the big show, Capital Hacking. My name is Josh McCown. Today, John and I are in studio.
Yes, we are having some fun. And we just interviewed Mark Schwager. And this guy is a giant in the world of paychecks and human resources. And he starts us out with some experiences in college that shaped his life, selling vacuum cleaners door to door.
Yeah. Great episode. If you're in business, if you want to understand how, really how to maximize your, let's say, incentives to your own staff and to build a better culture, really great content for that. And also watch out for the vertical stacking of all the different benefits he's created for his company and how that compounds on itself. Like that, we'll call it capital hacking. It changes his future because of the way he intentionally set up his business. So a lot to learn from that. I think you're going to love this show.
And Mark talks about how he built 45 streams of income, and you're going to learn how he does that.
Mr. Mark Schwager gets to be here, and I get to see him for the second time in a few days. John, this is my lucky day.
Yeah, I think we're all so lucky because the three of us got to spend the weekend together, and here we are on a Monday hanging out and, interviewing an amazing friend of ours, Mark Schwager. Mark, can you give us a little background story on who you are? And then after a few minutes, bring us up to speed.
Yeah. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And Kent Island Resort did not disappoint. Well done. Always have had the last couple of times there. It's been truly amazing. So myself, I am 50, ripe 53 years old, and, grew up in New York, above the city. When you say upstate New York, people from Buffalo get pissed off when you really mean right above the city. So we'll just say I'm in the Hudson Valley area. Grew up in a small town called Carmel, and just enjoyed the space out there for 25 years. Went to Frostburg, Maryland, Frostburg State University. We call it the real FSU at Frostburg. So that's a little town in outside Morgantown, West Virginia, and studied business. And really what got me on my train to entrepreneurship is I went to work for Electrolux vacuum cleaners at the time, selling door-to-door vacuums. So my claim to fame was I sold Bruce Willis's housemaid when he was with Demi Moore. I got to sell them a vacuum for $2,500. And, I just enjoyed it. I enjoyed making my own time, making my own money. All my buddies were smoking weed, being like lifeguards on a beach. And I was out pushing doors and making, six times the amount of money in probably half the time. So it's just one of those things that I really had a great mentor out of the gate, made me listen to John or Tom Hopkins tapes.
Yes.
Before Tony Robbins was the beast. It was Tommy Hopkins, and just kind of got into that space of creating your own destiny. So, that was my entrepreneurial adventure. And then I went right into payroll from that. So I worked a big giant ADP payroll company. And some people have a passion for, certain things. Mine was always payroll. I still do payroll to this day. And started Infinity HR in 2008 with my partner, Scott. And it's been an amazing ride ever since. We're on our 15th year. We have 100 employees around the country, and we've developed a number of passive income streams from that revenue. So we didn't take a lot of pay out of the gate. We're just starting to now, but we've really, really furnished all the supporting entities around our company. So I'm up to 45 passive income streams now, which are companies that I own, real estate projects, things like that.
And
couldn't be more blessed. I just feel like if there's a secret sauce, it's just let other people do the amazing work that they're born to do, and hopefully collect a small piece of the action on the way.
Man, there's a lot there, and Josh is chomping at the bit, but I'm going to kick it off with some questions. First of all, I didn't know that you did Electrolux vacuum sales.
I come from the world of selling Cutco through college. And so sounds like we had a similar background where, you know, we got to meet people, got to sit in front of adults when we were teenagers through college and, you know, make presentations. And also I was listening to Zig Ziglar and yep. Brian Tracy and Earl Nightingale and all those old classics really feeding my mind. So Mark, after you left college, well, first of all, what did you major in?
So originally I originally went to Kent State for a year just because I was a track athlete and they were D1 for the pole vault, which was my event, and barely made the team. I went for architecture because my dad's a mechanical engineer. This is how funny life is, right? He used to get taken out by architects all the time for lunches and fine dining and stuff like that. So they're like, oh, these guys must make all the money. So he's like, you should be an architect, because I was good at mechanical drawing, but didn't have a skill in the world about art. You need to be an artist to be an architect. So I went to school without any of that knowledge or data, and I had a miserable experience. And I'm so glad I did, because unless you're Frank Lloyd Wright or one of the big architects, you ain't making any money. So I'm glad I got a double backed. We didn't have the internet back then. So in 89, I looked at the Great American Book of Colleges, looked for business and looked for D3 track. And Frostburg came up as like top 10 in the country. And I was like, oh, cool. That's in between here and New York. Let's try it out. And I've met some of my best friends there at Frostburg. You guys know Pat Hyben. He got me kicked off in the fraternity there and just enjoyed the experience. And I met my bride there of 25 years.
Oh, wow. Man, so many
everything
happens
things. For a reason.
It's amazing.
I love it. I mean, I think what we'll do, if you don't mind, is we're going to turn this into a class for the students like myself listening. And if we could break it into a couple extremely important things that you're teaching us. And I think the third one we'll get to is how it all culminates in Infinity HR. But let's go back to the beginning of your journey on a mentor. This idea of a mentor and their first recommendation, and you already said it, but can you drive home that, because we have so many great people that work with us, and I'm hoping they're finding mentors even within our ecosystem. What was that all about when you joined at Electrolux?
Yeah, so I had a mentor who's my first sales manager, Ira Grossman. Without even knowing anything about him, you have that visual picture in your head.
Oh yeah,
short smart little guy. Stocky guy. He kind of looked like Louis De Palma. What's his name from Taxi? He was that kind of build. And he would drill me every day because he didn't want to do the cold calling, because he was, you know, at that point, 55, 60 years old. So he trained me on how to open up doors and get appointments. So I would do nothing in the first 6 or 7 weeks, but just cold call, make appointments. And he would drag me out on every call. And they have, Electrolux has a presentation just like Cutco. It's genius. It's designed for to walk away with something of a sale. So he had this presentation that allowed him to basically spread out dirt everywhere on these little white napkins with their vacuum. And he says, everybody has a DTL, a dirt tolerance level. So that was his thing. He would basically take their vacuum, you know, go a couple times in the same spot with his vacuum and put these little white towels in the new vacuum, and invariably pull up all this dirt and hair and dust and all that stuff. It was kind of nasty, but at the end of the day, he would have 6 or 7 of these piles of dirt with white napkins. And at some point, the woman or the man who was buying would be like, I've seen enough. That's their dirt tolerance level. So they either bought or kicked them out of the house. So he would sell these vacuums for me in the first couple of weeks. And I made, like, for, you know, high school kid, $2,500 is a lot of money. That's like half the summer for all my buddies that are lifeguarding, right? So so I would come home with all this cash and work basically 5 or 6 hours, 5 or 6 appointments, and kind of just opened my eyes to what's possible, right? Why that trading time for money thing was not a part of my aura anymore after seeing that experience. So that really kicked me off. And it wasn't amazing. It was just a door-to-door vacuum salesman job. But that got me in the scope of how, you know, the wheels were turning. How do I figure out a way not to be trading time for money in that 8-hour day sense?
Yep. And you know, without a doubt, I think the secret to any entrepreneurial journey, and if you're listening today and you're saying, well, I really would love to own my own business, I do think, I mean, again, this is just our opinion, sales is the key. Mm. If you can work on sales, and even if you're the world's best engineer with the world's best idea, say you do have that, whatever that idea is, please go and learn how to sell. because at the end of the day, the transaction, the fundraising, the whatever it's going to be is not going to happen unless people can feel the transmission of value from your communication. And you have to have that courage. I mean, sales is the ultimate, what do you call it, rejection?
Sure.
Because what is it? What when you were having that mentor, I imagine he had a number. You need to get 10 no's to get one yes, or 9 no's to get one yes. What was his number that he told you that helped you psychologically get ready for the no?
10 appointments gets 2 sales. That was his thing. So you get, and you have to make 50 calls to get those 10 appointments. So, everybody's got a different number for up closing ratios, but yeah, that was his specific drive, which got me into appointments. And even to this day with our daughter, we just bought a franchise and she's calling on baseball fields to try to organize events. We put together a little sheet for her, how many calls you got to get to a decision maker. And it's about the same ratio. So it's invaluable information.
So Mark, actually, I want to take a slight detour here because it's really interesting what you're talking about, this company that you and Brooke are a part of and some other GoBundance brothers. Can you talk about that company specifically and what Brooke's role is and how she's going to grow it?
Sure. Yeah, my daughter Brooke, she's 22 now, and she not a school person, right? So she's getting her associate's degree at a community college, and some people don't jive with that, don't they? They look at you got to go to a 4-year school, you got to spend $50,000 a year and do this, and the math doesn't work for me anymore. So I'd rather take that $250,000 and figure out something exciting that she's excited about. So we bought a franchise called Middle School Matchups, and it's owned by actually ex-GoBundance guy, but Daniel Himmel out of Texas. He has 5 or 6 markets right now that are crushing it. So they basically design events that are around baseball and 7-on-7 flag football matchups for middle school kids. So middle school kids don't get to showcase their talents in a lot of arenas for baseball specifically. It's always high school, high school, high school. You get on a club team here or there. But this takes the club team and organizes a couple events a year that are huge that they can showcase their talent to scouts, to high school coaches, to people that are in the know about baseball. I know enough about baseball to be dangerous, but I'm not a baseball guy. But this franchise is super cool, and we're just excited that she wants to be a part of it. And she's working for free right now, and she's got 50% equity over 3 years buy-in. The investors bought the franchise, and we're holding her accountable for being successful.
So I just want to highlight that because I love what you're doing, and our oldest, Luke, he's finishing community college and then transferring to a 4-year school. So we're right in line with that. But the fact that you and some other of our good friends went in financially with that type of equity, and Brooke is coming in with her sweat equity over the next 3 years, guys. So it's not like she's getting anything for free. She's got to work this business over the next 3 years, and then she gets a 50% equity stake. Man, that's genius.
Yeah. And you know what, at the end of the day, if it doesn't go well or it fails miserably, at least you'll know what it's like to run a business into the ground and figure out, hey, that we got to tweak something.
Now, without a doubt. I mean, now here's the thing though. When your father, how many other children, just a few others?
Or? I have three daughters.
And she's the oldest at this point or no?
You know, Josh, my motto is it takes the man to make a woman.
I love, you got to explain it so we don't get in trouble. What does that mean? I don't know if I know that.
It's just a funny thing. It takes a man to make a, I only have girls, so that's what I call that.
Oh, you're the man, and all you can produce is women. Got it.
That's right.
Therefore. So let's go back to,
I wasn't going to keep
you. I didn't know where that was going, bro. I didn't know. We got to make sure we're not going to get sued by anybody here sometimes. But let's talk about the fact is not everybody. I mean, look, our home is like, we try to actually encourage entrepreneurship and tenacity, but I find it's a delicate balance. Did you have to walk a thin road there to make sure she was interested and not pushed?
You know, we don't push anybody on anything, and we don't have a lot of athletes in our family because, frankly, I was an athlete. I lettered in 3 different sports in high school, but I didn't get the feeling that any of them were super interested in athletics. And I'm not a pusher. And that goes the same with entrepreneurship. Josh, I think that the main thing that we do or I do in my family is just lead by example. They see me getting up every day and grinding. And I don't look for any credit. I'll tell you, I mean, nobody even knows what I do in this office. We have 100 employees. I mean, there's a sign above my office that says the janitor's closet because somebody thought it was funny because they're like, who is this guy? So, and I kept it there. I enjoy that. I really don't have a lot of responsibility, and I'll take credit for, you know, just building people up and letting them do what they got to do. So yeah, we don't push anything in my house. Brooke just gravitated. She watches me do things and realizes this life is awesome, and I want that for myself. The other two haven't really shown an interest, so and that's fine too.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting experience for any of us raising children that are becoming adults. Not sure how to do it, but then you watch John's son is probably going to eclipse John as like a world-class salesperson, world-class business builder. He's just a dynamo, Luke.
Yeah. All three are going to eclipse me, which is exciting because that's the goal as a parent.
It is, and it feels anyway, we don't want to get into what it feels like, but it feels you always have to check your ego at the door. Like what ego, you know, by the way, really crazy story. This has nothing to do with it. Is the gentleman, have you ever seen this movie called My All-American?
No.
Oh man. About UT, University of Texas, Freddie Steinmarker. If you guys are looking for a video, a movie, I think it's on Netflix right now. I think it's on Netflix. It's incredible, but it was one of those stories where the dad did push the boy, but the boy really wanted to play the football. So it was like a perfect marriage, kind of like Luke in a sense. Luke looks like he loves being pushed, but he's also like pushing himself. It's kind of a perfect blend. That anyway, cool. That's enough parenting advice. I don't have any secret to tell other than just stay on it and love the kids.
I wanted to, the reason I was asking you what you majored in, because sales has such an impact in our lives, especially when we're going through college and we get to taste some level of success and we work our butts off. And, you know, you said you were working a few hours and your buddies were, I felt like I was working around the clock and I was getting punched in the face every day. And I just kept getting up to get punched in the face again. I just wouldn't stay down.
With
Cutco. Oh. Yeah. I just wouldn't stay down. I just kept pushing forward. And then that got me sort of into sales, which I became a personal trainer. So I was marketing myself with no help. But you went into payroll. So were you involved in sales with the payroll company? What did that look like?
ADP.
Yeah, ADP is we look for folks that have some sort of ADP or Paychex experience because they're the big giants. They have the money to invest in superior training programs. And, frankly, they're always looking for young, aggressive folks to stock their offices. And the burn and churn rate is enormous. But that's what they look for. They look for young people that are excited about selling. And it doesn't have to be, payroll's just pick something, right? That payroll just happens to be what they sell. And I was just watching TV the other night. ADP has an open for golf. So, I mean, they do national advertising for a payroll company. That's pretty impressive.
Wow.
So that's where I cut my teeth in kind of an organized training program, not just a guy giving me Tommy Hopkins tapes and doing that. But I have two mentors at ADP that were just amazing, Ed Bitterly and Phil Eisenman. They really got me in the space of team sales so that, you have President's Club every year. You try to do 150% of quota, that sort of thing. So whenever you're stocked against 40 or 50 people and everybody gets to see everybody's production, that's a driver too. They didn't even pay us a lot of money. We just wanted to win. We wanted to sell enough to have that number next to us that puts us in the top five or six and 40 sales reps in the region. So that was also kind of an eye opener for me because the way we develop our sales force now is we try to do a similar thing by rewarding. We have a President's Club. We're going to Thailand in 2 weeks. So we take the top producers from that and their spouses and go on a magical trip once a year. So we've taken a little bit out of that.
Yeah. And since you did, I mean, as we're talking about Infinity HR. Let's use this as a case study for us. Even I'm learning here, Professor. What is the matrix or the program you've put in place that you? Because you, it sounds like you boiled together pure entrepreneurship, then you meshed in with the ADP Ultra Training Program. What did you end up deciding was the right business development strategy for Infinity HR? How did you build the sales department?
Well, at first, because both my partner Scott and I are sales reps in another entity, we know how whiny we are as far as squeaky wheel gets the grease. So we're very convincing. When we want something, we try to push for it. So we were like, well, let's see if we can do the sales. We'll market through broker channels, which are 1099 type contractors. They don't get benefits or we don't tell them what to do other than giving them the pamphlets and say, here, let's go out and sell this. So that worked out great. for the first 5 years. And then we were kind of approached by a couple of really stellar sales folks for these competitor brands. And they were attracted to us because we were nimble. We were quick. We make decisions. We act. Right. Action is really what we're about, right? I mean, most people, they just sit on buttons and try to figure it out, and they never pull the trigger. So we're very quick to act on something. Sometimes it's bad. Sometimes it's good. So we attracted these sales folks. And, you know, that's where some challenges come in, because now you got to, your salespeople are your internal customers. So you have to treat them like that. The culture, and Josh, I know you're very into culture with your organization.
Yeah.
We are all about culture here. So, you know, we talked about the Dream Manager program we have in place.
Oh, for all our folks. That's right.
But, you know, salespeople, they want show me where the money is. So we've kind of tweaked our strategy a little bit. So we have, I think, about a dozen salespeople around the country internally, in various markets, and just go from there. But we don't have a robust sales force like an ADP Paychecks.
Hi, this is Melanie McCallum. Josh and I are just so grateful for the many investors who already joined us at Accountable Equity. Accountable Equity is so much more than a capital group. It's really a community of accredited investors that want to learn and grow together. I just want to personally invite you, if you want to find out more about this type of investment and see if it's right for you and your family, please visit us at accountableequity.com. You can fill out the contact form. We'll get right back to you and see if this is a great fit for you and your family. We'd love to meet you. We look forward to learning about you. Please visit us at accountableequity.com.
Hey, it's Hal Elrod, author of The Miracle Morning, and you're listening to Capital Hacking. Enjoy.
Yeah, no, and you've done a great job with your business. Now, we're going to, there's another part of his business. First of all, we have to define it. And if you have another question, can I ask? So we're going to ask you to define what Infinity HR does. And then we're going to talk, after that, we'll talk about how you built a vertical integration matrix that really was intelligent and is really going to pay dividends over the long term. But before then, let's step back. What is Infinity HR? Because you've used the word payroll and paychecks a few times, or payroll, but it's far more than that, right? It's far more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if somebody's with ADP or paychecks, we kind of spin it as this is not the same arrangement. It's not going to be the same price. So what we are is a professional employer organization, otherwise known as a PEO. So what that allows a small company to do is tap into a host of benefits. I use my aggregation model, which means we are connected via a co-employment contract. So Josh, when you know one of your entities comes with Infinity, I essentially hire your employees on my payroll and then lease them back to you for a labor cost. Now, that labor cost includes everything you're already paying. So all your statutory taxes, your employer taxes, your workers' comp insurance, because I have a master policy with you know, millions of dollars in premium that the carriers generally give us much better rates than you get on your own. And then I also offer you know, things like health insurance, dental, vision, life, anything that you're going to give to them as a W-2 employee from a benefit standpoint. So you essentially tap into an offsite HR department in respect to some of the work and the streamlining of what we do with the payroll, because everything surrounds the payroll. So you have benefits, you have HR, you have risk management. It all flows through the payroll. So it makes sense that we do that, and we do it through a co-employer arrangement so that you can access and tap into all the great benefits, and the employees love it, because now as a 10-person organization, you're offering the same types of benefits as you would be a, you know, a couple thousand person group.
Wow.
And sometimes better rates, because we have, you know, we have 45,000 co-employees, or what we call worksite employees right now.
Yeah. How much of the, those employees perceive themselves as co-employed, or do they think they're employed by the HVAC company or the regional yep. property management company? Who do they think they work for?
The checks and the W-2s do appear as Infinity HR. But the relationship is spelled out in our web portal. Merely, your company has made an investment in us to enhance the benefits for the company so that you can tap into really amazing benefits that you might in Northrop Grumman or a government agency or somewhere that's a lot larger. So the employees love it. You know, it's a minor nuance of a name on a check, but once, yeah. you know, once that's explained to them, it's just a, you know, kind of a pass through.
How did you and Scott come up with this concept? Because, man, it is, I mean, that's pretty amazing that you're providing not just the payroll, but all the benefits and like a human resource, almost like a WeWork for companies for, you know, HR and paychecks. But how did you come up with this concept?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to take credit for coming up with the idea. We'll use the R&D phase of our lifestyle, which is rip off and deploy. So we worked for a company We worked for a company for 10 years as sales reps and really understood the model because it was an owner that wasn't very present. So he did a lot of things great. He wound up buying jet company in India and did all this crazy stuff. And he was never around for us when we needed him. So we're like, you know what? F this. Let's go out and start our own thing. And it worked out great because we had a couple of clients that were near and dear to our hearts over the years that decided to jump ship with us and enjoy the ride. And it's been great ever since.
And the PEO, I think is what you said it was, right? Professional Employment Organization. Correct. That model is like, how old is that model as a legal structure?
Yeah, you know, it started out with kind of the union philosophy, you know. So, you know, you got buying power in numbers, except we take out the union reps and all the dumb shit that that those guys stuff. Put in place. Yeah. And, you know, we privatize it. And the legal contract has been around, gosh, probably 40 years, the co-employer contract. It's been tweaked since. There's a lot of liability now. I mean, we have employment practice liability that we include in all our contracts just because, you know, we're getting drug into lawsuits that we don't even have anything to do with. But because of the nature of the contract, we need to protect ourselves. So we love California and we hate California. It's a big revenue state, but man, that's where all the silly stuff happens. So if you got any properties in California, Josh, wait for a couple of years.
Yeah. It's actually been offered many times. And I always say, I'm not sure. I'm not sure we should do that.
Yeah, we have smart. We have two compliance folks in an HR related capacity that just deal with our California clients. And it's just like,
oh, you know what? Since we've done the deep dive and everyone who's listening, and you own a company of any level and you have employees taking the W-2, I highly encourage you to double check this model. And Mark and I have talked about it a few times for our own businesses, and I'm still trying to get my head around it for when it's a large scale or larger scale company. But I know you do handle anything from what, the 4-person company to the 1,000-person company. What is a typical sweet spot?
That was my exact next question.
Yeah, you guys are on the same wavelength. Well done. We have a specific relationship with the IFA, which is the International Franchise Association. So it's us and a few other PEO Smart. Type organizations that are referred. So we get referred normally at the franchise or level, and then they deploy it to the franchisees when they buy them. So typically hotel Smart. Groups, Marriott type companies. And then we have, even like one of our franchises is called Wagon Wash, which is the little stop-ins with your dog. And, you know, it's almost like a car wash for pets. And then you walk in, they have this beautiful fresh cookies for the dogs in a buffet style. So you go in, you get all your stuff, your supplies, and you wash your dog. It's really cool. Yeah.
And that's a successful business these days. That has nothing to do with anything, but it's really curious. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I would do it.
Their headquarters out of Denver, and then they have, I think, 50 franchises around the country. So it's pretty cool.
Amazing. Now, Mark, earlier when you were introing, you said that you have 45 streams of income, and a lot of us in GoBundance know about streams of income. But could you talk about how to build multiple streams of income, what interesting things that you're involved in, and how can listeners start building their streams of income?
Great question, John. I just did my passive income sheet here, which
he was prepared.
Double-sided now, but
damn,
no,
son.
I try to update it, obviously, as we get additional investments. But, it started out with just purely commission plays. So we have a benefits organization that is a broker relationship. So like a health insurance broker, I have a health and life license in 26 states. So that allows me to take advantage of commissions that are basically offerings that we give to all our amazing employees. So started out there where we were just getting, you know, we'll call it free money, but it is, you know, you have to maintain licenses. You have to, you know, have some level of accountability for offering benefits and all that good stuff. So there is work involved. It's just that my amazing team is doing the work, not myself. So I call that passive because it's just basically collecting checks per month. And then, with that, we started investing in small companies that support us in a brand standpoint. So we have an AI company that focuses on getting data for workers' comp that allows them to spin quotes around for PNC brokers that normally take 2 or 3 weeks, because when you're swinging a hammer in Washington state, it's different than swinging a hammer in Connecticut or New York. But if you have a company that's in those states, you have to take all that risk into calculation. And it's a tremendous ordeal to figure out if this is a good risk. So this software is a learning software. We give eyeballs to all our employees to the software. And over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been dialing into a 95% accuracy. They can quote something that normally takes weeks. They can spin it around in sometimes hours. So it's a really cool technology, and we're excited about that. They're doing a raise right now. And just excited to be a small part of that. So those types of companies that support us in a technology and brand standpoint, we've been investing in.
Yeah. And then of course you and I have talked, I don't know if you talk much about the captive insurance work you're doing, but if I were to summarize the genius of what you've built, is you add value at so many different levels. You try to help each client maximize everything they could possibly get out of benefits and whatever. And there's opportunities in there to build multiple businesses and or partner with multiple businesses. And this is like a, I don't know what else you want to call it, other than vertical integration. Sometimes you might call some of these components. I call it, this is the way back, John, I always joke on this phone, this podcast, capital hacking to me meant a lot of these kinds of concepts. Cause I watched the ultra wealthy and the people that own businesses realize that they're throwing off byproducts. Every time you sell something, you're selling a byproduct. And if you just start to flip your mindset to find those byproducts, you know, never take any momentum or don't take your foot off the gas of building the business that you were already born to do. But there's so many things that are, you can either partner with others to add secondary values to other people. And I think that's, you've made that your mission, Mark.
Yeah. And I think it's also has to do with just throwing it out into the universe where, we're always looking for opportunities. So we've turned sales rep, we've turned vendors, we've turned clients into not only friends, but partners through businesses, because they know that we're looking. We're always looking to support good folks and good people. And that's how our recruiting company, Talent Tuition, started 5 years ago. We just had a sales rep that was like, I'm done with this shit. My wife's an HR director. We're going to partner up and start a recruiting firm. And we're like, we need a recruiting company, because I've spent, we've cut those checks for $50,000 to look for a C-level person. Josh, I don't know if you got some talent on your squad. I'm sure you're cutting those checks too. So what we do is we incorporate a model that basically a recruiting engine, a company is included with our PEO services now, and that furnishes that organization. We have a passive play into that as well. So, and they just hit their first milestone, which is $1 million in revenue after 3 years of business. So we're super excited about that.
Congratulations.
Something that Mark, and I cherish our friendship and is he taking a picture? What are you doing?
I'm just showing you the clock.
Oh, yep. I got it. But something that we were talking about a few weeks ago when we were interviewing Tim Rode, and I love how he says, I learned to wake surf or surf in other people's wakes. And you have done that through your life. It seems like any time I'm jumping in on something, Mark's like, yep, I'm in with you. So, you and I are partners in three different current endeavors, which is so exciting, along with your partner, Scott. And the way you build relationships, the way you support others, it is not a surprise that you're so successful.
Appreciate that, man.
Yep. And I'm as we listen to these shows sitting on this side of the mic, I always think, what is the best title for this show? Because ultimately it's like the journey to vertical integration through sales. It's how to add better quality to your staff through PEOs and through the best benefits you could possibly offer them. I got a lot of things I'm taking away from the show. So thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys.
As we wind down, Mark.
I wish I had more of a cool offering. Like we give one of Ozzie Boyd's snake when you sign up with payroll.
Yeah.
You can do that.
That guy's nuts. He's not nuts. I'm so proud of him for building such a gigantic business out of snakes.
Yeah, his story is great. I listened to your interview with him. It's amazing.
He's a mutant. He's a mutant. He does mutant. What is it? He's an X-Man.
Mark, how do people find you, brother?
Yeah, so you can look Instagram. We're at Infinity HR with an I. Just make sure Infinity with an I. And then my email, simply mark@infinityhr.com.
Mark, thank you so much for spending the time with us. We loved the show. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Straight. We just got
to
we got to the end of another great show, and everyone listening right now, you're the family and friends. Fun. Thanks for staying till the end.
That was so fun. And hey, hit the like, hit subscribe. We're here to serve you guys. That's why we're doing this show. Josh is not paying me. I'm doing this off of my quote unquote sweat equity, because we want to make a difference in your life. And then that ripple effect will continue to touch the world.
Hey, amen, brother. Please check us out on capitalhacking.com, all the social media threads. And yes, I know you've probably already sent this episode to one of your best friends. Thank you. We love you. Just go right into your iPhone, hit the plus symbol. We'll talk to you later. See you next week.
Share, share, share.